One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free, select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Rebate in form of Visa gift card equal to 100% off the second eligible item purchased before or after applicable discounts, if any. See details. Offer ends 7/9.
Welcome, everybody, to fucking Stavi's World. We're here, my boy Ian Lara. Of course, we are going to answer your questions. That's coming up later in the show. If you want your fucking questions in here, the number is... What was it, Eldis? 904-STAV? 904-800-STAV. Super producer Eldis. He's going to try not to fuck anything up this week.
I'm going to try my hardest. Oh, thank you.
No one's clapping for your bitch ass. Don't lie to the people. So we are going to fucking get into some questions, Ian. We're going to have your expertise with these motherfuckers. But
yeah,
let's just chop it up, dude. It's good to see you.
Is this Greece?
This is Greece.
Are we in Greece?
We're in Greece. Right now, this is straight. We are in Athens right now. This is straight from Stavi Baby Studios at the top of the Acropolis. Yeah, you like it, dude?
I see so many Instagram photos posted from these white houses. It's dope, man.
Dude, it fucking rocks. You ever been to Greece?
No.
No.
It's one of the places, though, when people ask me.
Dude, it's like... People talk about like going on vacation and shit, or they ask you like where to go, and it's like I've taken whatever 10 vacations, 9 of them have been in Greece, because it's like, why the fuck would I go anywhere
else?
When
is a good time? In the summer?
Summer's good, but also October, bro, because like you think it's gonna be like fall, it's gonna be cold, the water is still warm, and like the tourists are gone, so like early October is a great time. You don't want to go in May, you don't want to go before the summer, because the water's still cold, the way that shit works.
What is that, the Mediterranean?
Mediterranean.
Yeah, I did the Mediterranean. I went to Israel.
Okay.
Yeah, nice. And I went surfing in the Mediterranean. But in Israel,
oh shit, yeah, hell yeah,
that's pretty cool. I gotta go to Greece. I'm gonna go next year.
Yeah, no, it fucking rocks, dude. But we got you here. You got a new special out, romantic comedy on HBO Max.
Yes, sir.
It's fucking hilarious.
Thank you, brother.
I just figured let's get these motherfuckers. Let's get Ian on here. Let's get some of these fucking pieces of shit to watch my boy's special. We go way back from the fucking, like, when I first moved to New York, we were doing. Like, we're just doing all the same shitty rooms, the fucking standing room.
Yeah.
The standing room. Eldis, you ever go there? The standing room? You ever see a show there? It was a club. And it was, you know, honestly, it did suck, but it was like so important for my development.
It's all we had.
Because we weren't getting, like, we were past at the stand and we weren't getting spots there. And
I mean, it was one room at that point.
There was one, the old stand, the small, which is great, a great place.
Yeah.
And the standing room was a hallway that they put two tables in, and they called it a fucking comedy club. It was fucking like, dude, you couldn't, Eldis, there was no, like, if you were staring straight, you were looking at a wall. You had
like the distance was from like this wall.
This is a deeper room. Than
it was
the fucking
maybe the carpet.
It was fucking hilarious, dude. It was like a hallway we were doing comedy, and you would look this way and you would look that way, and that was
you
like
couldn't
the
look
whole...
center because it's the wall,
and it's like you could tell how you were doing to each person. Like there was no crowd. The lights on the stage like illuminated the entire room. You saw everyone's face.
The spotlight illuminated the whole club.
Yeah. There's a waitress running in and out, didn't give a fuck at all.
No.
For whatever reason, everyone who worked there, the staff there, they were cool, but they had no idea of how, like,
I mean, if the club did it,
work.
They were like, we're not gonna care.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, like every room, you would have some hot shows there.
You would.
Like, every once in a while, it would be packed out and you'd kill. And for sure, I mean, thank God for that place, because at the beginning, they were only given the spots. Yeah.
Oh, when I lived in this apartment, I have a Stabby Baby Studios at the top of the Acropolis. But this apartment where when you met me and we were doing those shows, I lived in like a fucking 8x8 windowless fake room in fucking living room. Oh yeah,
that's funny because I always remember you being successful.
Like that's hilarious.
I always remember you being
because I was like opening for Bobby and I was on the road with Tom Papa.
Yeah,
and I was like, okay, it's like at each level, what we think of as success, like
yeah,
has to shift. Right, but it was just like I was working on the road a lot, like. A lot at that time, but that's all I had.
Yeah.
I had those road dates, and then we had the fucking standing room.
And you had the podcast.
The podcast was just starting. We weren't. It was like we kind of made money, probably like a year into it.
Yeah.
As I went on the road, I had this writing job too. I never really was broke because my rent was so low, and I had the shitty writing job. And then when I got fired from that, I went on the road with Bobby for like a month, and when I came back, the show just. Was like making money, and I was like, "Fuck, I gotta go get a job." And then we were like, "Wait,
yeah,
what the fuck's going on?"
Yeah, I remember you were like one of the first dudes that was like making a living.
Yeah, and then the word started to spread.
Like, did you hear how much stuff?
Yeah. Oh yeah, dude, people were fucking pissed.
Yeah, it was like stop.
Yeah, because at that point in comedy, everyone thinks they should be the famous one.
Yeah.
Because none of us had anything.
No,
you know?
No.
And by the way, most of those people are dog shit at comedy. Like, the people we were...
100%.
Like, that's why it's nice, because it's like, you were there. Who the fuck else? We had some good motherfuckers in there. It's tough to fucking say.
Petey
was there. He was fucking
Jordan
hilarious.
Fisher was
Jordan,
there.
Jordan, yep.
Monroe and Derek, they were a little ahead of us.
Yeah, exactly.
They were ahead of us.
But that's why it's nice. But it's nice now because like you got the fucking special, and it's nice to just because you got the special on HBO, and it was just because you're funny. There was no like, you know, the podcast popped. I got lucky with that shit, and then like YouTube and TikTok, all that shit's going well. But a lot of people are getting specials now off of like just social media and not comedy.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see
that I have
you
no
get one
because,
yeah, your social media is dog shit.
Garbage.
Yeah. The man can't post, folks.
Garbage social media. No, yeah, for sure.
Dominicans can't really wrap their heads around social media.
No, we don't understand how it works. I'm still doing newspaper ads. Yeah. I took out a page in the Daily News when it came out. Got no hits. It's good. It's like cool being from the crop. And like, I always like, you're one of those guys. And I'd like to think I'm one of those guys that like, when you think of like us, they're like, all right, well, they're comedians that
right.
like do well,
yes.
generally
yes.
speaking, right?
Well, that's the thing. The special is so fucking funny and it's just like good fucking jokes. So go watch the fucking special.
Thank you, man.
And I like it too because it is very personal. That's another thing. It's like, there are also joke writers because you're, you know, Ian Style, a lot of fucking... You never seen a show with Ian, have you, Eldis?
No.
No.
No one has.
Yeah. He would come to a lot of my shows. Me and him go back to when we were literally in kindergarten.
Right.
So he's come to a bunch of the shows. But it's like, you know, your shit is like, for the audience, a lot of just good jokes. Set up punch jokes.
Yeah.
And like...
I try.
And like, there's... You can get a narrative within that, but like, sometimes it's hard. A lot of good joke writers, you don't really get a sense of who they are through
yeah.
that shit. So what
yeah.
I really liked about the special was that, like, it's pretty personal, you know? And there's some stuff that, like, you know, you have a lot of great bits, but it's, like, a lot of it you do, you know, you fucking figure out who the person is behind the set of punchline jokes.
Right. Well, I try to be that. I try to be that because especially, like, the one thing, like, in a lot of times in this business, you know, like, the black comics get categorized as, like, having all the charisma in
right,
the world.
Right,
so
right,
they can just
right.
go up there with
yeah,
nothing
yeah, yeah.
and they'll
absolutely
kill
nothing.
Off this charisma.
Sing a song.
Right. And you'll never kill as hard as
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Then,
yeah.
And then some of the white comics are known as being, like, really great joke writers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
which is hilarious. It's, like, even in, like, comedy, it's racist. Like, the way they
yeah.
talk about sports
yeah.
where it's, like, well, he's that's charisma is athleticism.
Right, right.
And like intelligence is joke writing.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know, black people are capable of writing jokes.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I always wanted to be like a good joke writer.
Right,
like
right,
I always
right,
wanted
right.
when I started comedy, I wanted to be like a good joke writer. But then like a lot of people, like a lot of like my friends or like people from like the realm that I come from, they don't care about good jokes.
No,
like,
dude.
They don't care, like,
which is good though, because you get both skills. Like that's what I
yeah.
liked coming up is like in Baltimore, it was just like, yeah, you would do like these little alt rooms, whatever. And then it was like, I would go do black shows and it's like, I'm bombing with my material.
They don't care about your clever
And then I just, like, the host was dark skin, and I just made fun of him for that.
And they're like, and people are like,
there we go. You're right. You're right. We can't tell the difference between his black polo and his elbows.
I always try to, like, even when I'm writing, like, I always try to kind of live in the same, in that middle thing where I'm like, I want to write a good joke, but I want it to be personable, and I want it to be alive through me, not just be, like, letters written in a notebook that could be recited by, like, anyone.
Of course, and it's, that shit is so important, and what I like, and, like, and that's, this show is about also just kind of, like, getting to, like, you know, we're solving motherfuckers' problems. We're getting into, like, what everybody was into. And I loved watching the special and being like, and just, like, seeing, just relating to so much shit from, like, the immigrant perspective, too. Because I loved all that stuff.
Oh,
I loved
thank the you, fucking, man. Yeah.
So you grew up here. You grew up in New York.
Yeah, I was born and raised in New York.
And, but, like, your whole family, your family's Dominican.
Yeah, yeah.
And that
was going on vacation.
That joke is, Elders, you'd love that fucking joke where it's, like, the punchline, I don't want to ruin your joke if you want to say, where it's, like, it's immigrants treat going on vacation like it's the Scared Straight program, you know, where it's like they're just like, this could be you, motherfucker. Like, it's not relaxing at all when you go on vacation.
Right? I remember that was like a thought that I had during the pandemic. But you remember, like, then you weren't getting on stage, so it was like hard to develop it. I had the idea, and then I remember I sat down and I was looking at old ideas, and I was like, yeah, let me touch this again. And I went down the whole thing about like how I had to learn to go on vacation as a kid older. Like, you're supposed to relax and enjoy it.
Yeah, all this. This is Albanian. I'm from Greece, and it's like my family would take me to fucking. We would go on vacation, and we're from Greece. Yeah. It's the best.
Yeah,
that's one. It's a good immigrant to be because it's like even if you're poor, it's like you're poor on the nicest island.
Right. Yeah.
But my family's from Athens, and we would just go, and we would just be in the city.
Yeah.
And it would just be like me eating fucking like mushy pasta with my grandma, and it's like my grandparents. No AC, both hoarders.
Yeah.
Both are just like, you know.
Same. Yeah. I mean, I'm from the Dominican Republic. Yeah, beautiful island in the Caribbean. Yeah, yeah. Beautiful. And don't get me wrong, we would go to a resort for a weekend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But most of it was like, why?
That's exactly it. We would go to the nice place for a week.
Yeah.
And then we're just living in a shittier city. Right. And I was from Baltimore, by the way. Yeah. This is shittier than Baltimore. Then it was like, we would go.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's no AC. We would just watch like old American sitcoms with Greek subtitles.
Yeah,
it's like, why are you making me live like this, dude?
Same thing. I mean, I'm glad I was able to find like a humor in that. Sometimes I feel like comedians have stuff about like, they'll talk about immigrant stuff, but it's like very specific. So I tried to keep my stuff like, it don't matter where you from. Like,
of course.
It's like an experience that you kind of all felt.
Yeah.
Which is like, I'm glad that I relate to.
Did
like
you motherfuckers have like you couldn't flush toilet paper,
dude.
You would have to. There was our apartment. There was a bucket that you had to flush the toilet with.
Yeah, where same. It was like there was same. No and shower. You could take the water out the shower, and then we would do this. I don't know if you do this. Like the normal conditions compared to ours. Here in New York, in the United States, was horrible. Like, it's like, we don't live like that. We have electricity, we have things.
Right.
And they would have electricity, but it would leave. But then, like, you would stay there for a little while at my family's place, and then, like, they would pick a day where they'll take you to something worse than that. to make you be like, this is luxury. They'll lower all your things and then take you to a worse scenario where you're like, what? I didn't know it got worse.
My mom's, like, my grandma's village... This shit was just like, it really was nothing. It was like a village on a top. You would like, there's no cars. You have to walk the top of a fucking mountain.
Yeah.
They have like, it's one. And it's like, I don't know if the DR is the same way. I assume it is. Mattress technology in Greece is like.
It's 40 years behind.
It's like insane, dude. Like my cousin, I went to stay with him this year.
Yeah.
Like this year, he's a 38-year-old man who just got rid of the twin mattress he slept on his entire childhood, and he bought himself a full. And that, and he was like, I saved.
He had to show it all.
Dude, no, I'm not even kidding. He was like, I saved up and bought this. And it was like he was buying a car. He bought a full, not a queen, a full mattress. And the room that he had set up for me to sleep in was his, because he used to live with his parents, but they now lived downstairs, right? Because, like, the way Greek people have it is, like, every member of the family has, like, they built, like, in the 40s, there was one little house, and then everyone just built
that's
up.
How 100% in Dominican
Republic. And so every cousin gets a...
In my grandparents' house, it was just a first floor,
yeah.
And then the their kid, they built another level and their kid moved up.
Exactly. You know? And so he used to live with his parents until he was like 34.
Yeah.
And then they, because they got tired of moving, going up the stairs, moved to the first floor, which was like the guest, which was our family. When we would go, they used to say, but we don't go anymore. So they're like, we're just going to move down there. And so his parents' old bedroom, which he had, was his gym. And it was like two rusty-ass barbells, a yoga mat. And then he put his twin mattress that he had just gotten rid of, he put it straight on the floor. And he was like, here you go, man. I've got your fucking, here's where you're staying. And I was like, hey, man, I think I'm going to get a hotel. He's like, no, dude, I got a guest bedroom set up
offensive.
For you.
It's offensive.
No,
for you
I know.
To get
and,
a hotel.
I, and then so he was like, and so I was like, all right. He said he's setting my shit up. That's what I walked into on just a twin mattress that had been slept on for 28 years, probably. Jeez. He went from a crib to that mattress, got rid of it 6 months prior. Put it on tiled floor and was like, here you go.
Did you stay there?
I stayed there and no bullshit. It was 2 months until like my back was fixed.
Yeah.
Because I went back? Dude, because I went straight from that to going on the road.
Fucking American back is not used
dude,
to that.
I'm fat as
third
shit,
world back.
Dude. Exactly.
That's third world
yeah,
back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They don't know the support. They don't know the support yeah. I need yeah. after having the American diet.
Right,
like
right.
I am fucking like there are no people as fat as me in Greece except my uncle who's fat, who's truly fat as shit.
Now, are you known in Greece? Like do I
no,
know you?
Dude, I'm getting worried that it's gonna start happening. My family doesn't know that like how good things are going for me.
Oh, really?
So I'm
like, DR is, I guess, is closer and
yeah,
more
yeah.
connected. So
oh,
like,
that's awesome.
They know people,
especially
know
now the
yeah,
HBO.
Now the special, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think a couple things are gonna happen this year. Hopefully that even Greece will understand, like even my relatives yeah. in Greece will understand.
Well, people get weird because when I went to the Dominican Republic last time, I did like press and stuff over there.
Yeah.
And it was cool. Like I did, they have like a big podcast.
They're about to kidnap you?
They have, well, well, people online, like they found where my grandparents live.
And you I'm do like, a fucking HBO special, your fucking abuela's gonna be tied up.
Yeah,
gonna, they're, right. gonna have, they're gonna have her. They're gonna send you a postcard with her. They're gonna send you one of her toenails. It's like,
well, she passed. So.
Okay, all right.
So let me step on that joke.
All right, nice.
But my grandfather's still there. But it, like they found it for like no reason. Like they had no intentions. They just shared it like on like the thread. They're like, his family lives over here. And I'm like, do you want to kidnap them?
Yeah,
do you
yeah,
want
yeah,
somebody
yeah,
else?
Yeah, yeah,
what's
yeah.
The, why are you sharing this
exactly.
information? They found like an ex-girlfriend that I had.
Wow.
Like they found her. She messaged me. She's like, hey, I'm married now. Why are you?
Why is the
yeah,
why are your cousins asking about
right,
me?
Right.
That's fucking wild.
So you got to deal with that. But
that's fucking hilarious.
But it's nice to like go back to like the old country and get like, I got like recognized a couple times
that's
at the
awesome.
Airport. And that was like super cool.
That's
for
sick.
Me.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I wonder because it's like, American culture is huge in Greece, but it's like so different. You're right. We're in the same, like, it's not that far. DR's not that
no,
far from here.
No, 3-hour flight. It's like
yeah.
Miami.
Yeah, exactly. So Greece is like a whole, the second you get one mainstream, like really big thing, it's over. They'll talk about you forever.
Like
but
John Stamos?
Like they just don't understand the internet. You know what I mean? Like
no, yeah, that's
but
the
like
thing.
Over there, it's like if I was in a big, like a major motion picture release for 1 second, I would like be on the news.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's like,
but 10 million views.
But having
on
10
YouTube.
Million views doesn't mean shit to them, right?
Yeah.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one of a kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind the scenes secrets. It's going to be a must see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Like, it's literally news. Tom Hanks's wife is half Greek, and every time he vacations in Greece, it's on the news for like 3 weeks. Like, they have pictures of him eating calamari.
It's Tom Hanks,
but you know what I mean? It's
yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
his
but
half, or like, that, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like Tom Hanks came to, like, you know,
support anything.
He's on a beach having fucking a pita. You know what I mean? And they're like,
"Pita's great though."
Tom Hanks. And they're
like, but you know what that means? That means you don't have time to build up. Like, you're gonna go from 0 to 100.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, exactly.
It's like overnight. They're gonna be like, "This is the king of Greece."
Thank God we don't have that many relatives, because it's like I just like
yeah,
because you know, shit is bad going bad over there.
Because so but like, even like you have to think like you are Matt. I mean, as far as like Greek comedians go, you're.
Yeah, I don't know who else.
Right.
Giannis. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Giannis for sure, but you're like a top three guy in the country.
Right, right. In Greece for sure. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. That's why. But, dude.
No, in America, I'm saying. Like, you're a top three comedian in America. I appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, in America, yeah, I suppose. But
which is like, this is the major leagues of comedy.
Yeah, but you really. Greek is doing a lot of heavy lifting in that sentence. You know what I mean? It's like, who the fuck? It's me, Giannis, and then question mark, question mark, question mark. You know what I mean?
Now,
like,
I mean, I'm sure there's a bunch of guys that are successful, but to be top anything, anything in the United States is impressive.
Yeah, no, but there's not that many fucking Greeks, dude. There's not, you know what I mean?
There's like, Greek comics.
There's a few. There's Greek I appreciate comics. It. But yeah, you're right, though, because local, like, not real fame, then if you look at it in, like, specific lenses, you feel way more famous. Like, there's nowhere I get recognized more than Baltimore, because I started, like, talking about the Ravens.
Like, you walk down the street and...
It's gotten... Ever since I started doing Ravens jokes and, like, a couple, like, Ravens videos have gone viral, it's like, yeah, I get recognized constantly in Baltimore. Really? And it's just hilarious.
You gotta start doing Giants and Jets.
Dude, it's hilarious. People love football.
Yeah, I know. I mean, especially Baltimore. Like, that's like a big...
That's all we fucking
thing.
Have, yeah, dude. Like, we don't have another... I mean, we have the Orioles, but, like, you know, no basketball.
Yeah. I get now recognized a little more because of the special, obviously, and all the publicity. Like, it's out right now, and all the publicity they did before. I had the weird thing happen, like, because I'm always down to take photos, and every time somebody asks for a photo, I'm like, this is the coolest thing that ever happened to me. But this past weekend, like, I was leaving the hotel, like, it was like 7 a.m. I was checking out.
Where were you? On the road?
Yeah, I was in Wisconsin.
Okay, nice.
A club in Wisconsin.
Madison?
No, I was in Kenosha.
Kenosha, okay.
Yeah. Comedy club, which is fine. Like, we did two shows. It sold out, and they were great. And then the next day, I was, like, checking out. You know, like, you're checking out. Like, you're, like, a little bit
groggy
hungover.
As fuck,
like,
of course.
I was getting my coffee, and somebody, like, run up to me and asked, like, for a photo. And I said, yeah, but I was like, oh, I can see how this, bothersome.
Yeah,
but, of course, I'm so, like, I'm like, yeah, of course.
Yeah,
I'm
in Kenosha.
Not only that.
Listen, bro.
Listen to this. This is how... This is how ain't shit I am.
Yeah.
Not only, like, did they rush me to take the photo.
Yeah.
They didn't have their phone. Oh. So they asked me to take it on my phone.
Get the
so
fuck
I
out
I took
here.
A photo and had to send it to them.
Yeah, that's next
this is
level.
Where I'm at in my
career. That's hilarious.
I'm a photographer. I'm the artist. I had to edit it. And they're like, could you crop this out? For me? Like, I was like, all right.
How's the lighting, Ian?
Yeah.
Step over here. Yeah. Hilarious, dude.
This is where I'm at.
That's so fucking funny. I love the DR shit though. That's I'm interested. Like, have you been going back? Like.
I was there last month.
How much family you have over there?
I still have a bunch of uncles, and my grandfather is still over there.
Nice.
And I have, like, friends, and my family visits a lot, so we're outside. And,
yeah.
And, like, and it's like you said, like, you get a couple things, like, HBO, Dominican on HBO, like, that, they
yeah,
supported
you're
it,
fucking
right?
David Ortiz, as far as they're concerned. You're Big Poppy.
right. Well, I love it. Like, I appreciate it, because, like, they're obviously, like, a Spanish-speaking country, but, like, I did shows out there.
Yeah.
We sold out 2 shows in English.
That's awesome.
In the capital at the comedy club over there, which that was, like, a big deal.
Yeah, that's fucking, because the funny thing is, everything about DR, like, when you think about going to the DR, it's like, if you're not from the DR, you're there for sex tourism. You know, and if you are from the DR, you're there to tend to your second family. That's usually what the fuck it's like. That's what everybody knows. So for you to have, like, this wholesome, I'm sure you have some fucked up, like, some hilarious, like...
Dude, you know what's funny about
family
this?
Members and
of
just,
course,
like, all that
of
kind
course.
Of shit.
Of course. And I have family members who literally are there for both.
Yeah.
What's funny
Hell
is...
your Albanian uncle would love the DR.
I didn't even know about the sex tourism till I got older.
Yeah, of
so,
course.
So, like, I was just young. Like, and by older, I mean, like, I was, like, 23 when I found out, like...
Right, right.
right. People are coming here to have sex.
Yeah.
I thought everyone just came to eat mangoes. Yeah, and, eat mangoes. And enjoy the beautiful weather. Yeah. And then you have these white men, they're like, no, we come here to fuck.
Yeah.
We fuck nonstop. Because I was working at the airport, fresh out of college. So, like, you know, I was working for Delta. So you had, like, all these employees that would, like, fly for free.
Yeah.
And then you had, like, these old men who were like, yeah, I like to start my day with five women.
Disgusting.
I'm like, what?
Yeah, just some old guy, never been married.
Yeah, well, they're married.
Oh, they're married, yeah.
He's like, I like to start my day with five women before 12, good and that's how God. I get going. Then I like to finish it off with
those
three women.
Poor girls,
and I'm
dude.
Like, you're having sex with 10 women a day? You're like, yeah, $75. Best deal in the business.
Yeah, dude, they're looking that he's frugal. He's thinking about it per nut.
Yeah.
He's like, look, it's 75. So if I only nut once, that's $75. But if I nut five times, that's a good deal. Yeah. You know, it's like Costco.
You get prostitution in bulk.
Yeah, essentially that's what these motherfuckers are doing, dude. That's dude, those poor girls. Has anybody tried to sell you, just like, you know how if you're famous, they'll be like, if they recognize, they'll be like, beer on the house. Anybody tried to give you, has anybody, like, a pimp been like, how about some pussy? How pussy on the house?
I want to reach that level of success. Yeah. Maybe I get a Netflix. That'll happen. But off HBO, you don't get that.
No pussy on the house off HBO Max?
No, you don't get
it's
that.
It's got to be on TV. It's got
it got to be linear for you to get the. But that's like, I was having this conversation with my friend because they were asking me, they were like, all right, like, you've done some things, like, you know, I've done some mainstream things. Like,
I've done
Tonight Show twice, and I got the HBO, got the Comedy Central special, whatever. So they were like, how is it, like, are you getting, like, do you feel like you're getting, like, a ton of women? Like, and I'm I mean, you get women, but everybody gets women.
Course,
you don't have to be, like, not everybody. Yeah. It's a group of people.
Some of the people listening to this show right now.
Can't relate to anything
I'm about to say.
But generally speaking.
And we'll get to your questions soon, guys. 904-800-STOP. Call in if you don't get any pussy. Me and Ian do, though. So we're going to talk about that for the next couple minutes.
You get a ton. It's so funny because, like, my you know, my niece works at the Stand.
Okay.
And like, she'll send me, like, you'll post like a going on tour and it's like you naked on a convertible.
Yeah.
And she's like, I love him. And I'm like, this is how he does it. Like, I don't understand. He's just like double down.
It's
on
hysterical.
Who he is.
It's
hilarious.
If you if you're just honest. If you're just you and it's like, hey, I have some ribs. Would you like to eat some and come give me head? Someone's going to say yes. You know what I mean?
I'm like, I didn't know you could be that honest. I didn't know this existed. Like, I'm like, did he just tweet that he ordered Chinese food and he'd also like head? And then just get 3,000 retweets asking to drop a location?
It is really funny to get famous in just, like, I'm not actually famous, but I'm famous in the exact niche way where the most, like, I've talked about this before. It's like, I got famous, I got podcast and internet famous, which is where a lot of mentally ill women that will just fuck you exist. You know what I mean?
That's probably, like, the best way to be. It's like,
it's a lot better than a Tonight Show.
For sure.
It's like old women.
I got old married women in Minnesota telling me, when are you coming to Minnesota? And then I go, and they don't go.
They've forgotten who I was.
But yeah, you got that internet thing. And there's like an anonymity to the internet, but yet it's personal, but yet anonymous. So that works. But I think I was having a conversation with Mark Norman about it, because like Mark was telling me how like Seinfeld loves Bernie Mac, because he was like, Seinfeld says like Bernie Mac is like who he is, like
of
on
course.
Everything. Like the outfit matches the voice, the voice matches the act. Like, and he's like, he was this loud thing. And I'm like, I feel that about you. I feel like you are 100% who you are. Where like the tracksuits match the act.
Of course, I appreciate that. Everything
works.
You got it. Yeah, I mean, that is before we even get to the advice portion. That is hugely, that's the best thing that's ever happened to me, which I'm just like, yeah, I'm just going to be exactly who the fuck I am. Who cares?
But it's so, I mean, do you think anyone could do that?
Look, here's the catch.
You
to
have
it,
a
right?
charm. There's a charm to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, there is a catch to it where it's like, yeah, I also have her worked really hard. Like, because what people think about that is like, just be a slob and let yourself go. And
yeah,
like,
and it's like,
it's not that. It's not like that. You have to also, you have to care about putting the best version of you out there.
Yeah.
You can't just, there's a version of me that Where's the fuck? It's not. It's like a shitty tracksuit that's stained with fucking Chinese food.
Yeah.
I haven't exercised in 2 weeks.
Yeah, you can't
I feel
be that.
Like shit. You know, like, and I haven't worked on my, you know, I'm depressed because I've been fucked up too long. And mm-hmm. it's like, but there's also the version of you that's like, yeah, I'm even if I'm not working out to actively like lose a ton of weight, I feel better. I'm, you know, my energy's up. I've been working on comedy. I'm sharper. I'm yeah. performing. So yeah. I'm like, I've talked to a lot of people, so I'm socially engaged. It's like, you got to be the best version of you, right? It's not about just letting things out and letting things go.
Yeah.
It's
like, you're also like innately a good time.
Sure.
Like,
you're fun.
You're one of those people that, like, I imagine, like, in high school, like, when you walked into the classroom, it was like, all right, we're about to have fun. Yeah. Stavros
is
coming.
There was a lot of, like, it's funny to look back on when I thought I was just, like, a kind of a fucking, like, I was like, I thought people liked me, and I was like a little bit of a nerd, even because I was, you know, I was like, I did take school seriously a little bit, and then it's like, oh, I guess I was like, kind of like a complete clown and bully. Like I was like fully like everyone's having a good time, but it might be at somebody's expense. Like
I was that for a while too.
People like I go back and I see people like I grew up with. I'm like, what's up, dude? And they're like, you tortured me in lunch class. I'm like, dude, we were having a good time. And it's like, oh, I guess I can see that in hindsight.
What
but also, I wasn't getting pussy in high school because it was like, I wasn't either.
Yeah.
I was self-conscious. And I think like, and that's also, I think how, like why incels are there's a negativity to that. It's like, if there's not that pressure valve of release of like getting pussy, you turn mean.
Yeah,
and I think that's what it was because it was like
because
I had the same like I was the same guy where I was like fun and I was like, but I turned it on. I was hurt and I was like, let's hurt somebody else.
Yeah, sure. Well, hurt people.
Exactly, because it's not because you can't feel better because you don't. Yeah, you feel like you have all this like depression and all this kind of shit when you're like, you know.
I spoke about this on other things because like with incels, like because you if you've seen the special, you understand that like. I'm first of all, I feel like I'm making fun of like both sides. Like I'm making fun of women and I'm also making fun of men.
Right.
And like, I feel like in some of the parts, maybe not in the special, but in some of the clips that they shared, it seemed like I was like making fun of men. So like the incels, like not a lot. It was like maybe five out of thousands were like, he's giving away this man. Clearly he's giving away all the man secrets. He wants to be a woman. And I'm like,
hilarious.
I'm the like, man secrets. this special, you have to like get, like to understand the comedy, not to understand, but like to relate to it at least, I feel like you have to sleep with women.
Sexually.
Sure.
Very heteronormative.
Yeah,
it's very,
a lot of
it's very loser negative. So if you don't, it's not loser positive. It is about people who have gotten pussy, but there is also vulnerability into it because it's like, yes, because you are talking about, and it's something I did want to talk about, where it's like, yeah, it's like, damn, you can't. And it's kind of like those guys that go to the DR to still get pussy. It's like they've distilled what's disgusting about getting pussy. And it's like the older you get, if you're still a guy who's just trying to get laid, because a part of the special is like, yeah, it's fun to fuck around and it's fun. But it's like at a certain, you get to a certain point and you're like, I kind of would like a real connection with someone.
Sure.
And there is a vulnerability there where it's like at a certain point, getting pussy stops being cool. Like it's not hard anymore, and it's a sign almost of immaturity.
Yeah, it's like, but it's still a drug, right?
Absolutely.
So it's like you know that doing crack isn't good, and
of course,
ruining your life.
But those,
but every time a new
those 11 minutes that you're on crack, you're like,
right? So so it's 100%.
Yeah,
that,
I get
it's
that.
It's like. Not. I mean, obviously, I don't think I'm in. I'm definitely not like a sex addict or anything like that.
I'm
definitely not because you know I'm cool without it for like long periods of time. But I'm saying like you feel like, all right, I don't need this, but when it's offered, you still have that temptation.
And I don't know for you, especially if like you're a fucking performer too. It's like there is something to the like getting attention for or getting like positive reinforcement. Outside for you know what I mean.
It's of course.
Like it's like just somebody wanting to fuck you. It makes you feel good. You're like, oh really? You want to fuck?
I mean, that's
you know?
That's
even more.
Isn't that more than the sex? That's
than
why
the
like
actual
the prostitution.
Busting. Yeah.
The prostitution.
Yeah.
I'm like, a big part of it for me is that you want to sleep
right.
If you don't want to, like,
exactly.
We don't have to do this.
Yes.
You can go home.
In fact, it feels really bad. If
right.
You don't want.
It feels
like
extremely bad.
yeah. If I just catch a vibe that like she like.
like, I can't imagine just fucking somebody who's been trafficked. Like, yeah. It's just like a girl who's just like nervous because she has to work in the morning.
I can't.
And she wants, like, she's like, she's having a good time, but she's like, I gotta be up at 6 a.m. And that's on the back of her mind. That can ruin it for me. Let alone, like, my family is being held at gunpoint. And I have to make this pimp $7,000 before I'll be released. Like that. And the guy's like, woo, fucking me and my accountant buddies are at the DR.
Yeah,
we're fucking.
Yeah, me, I mean, I guess we're similar in that way. Like, me and those guys, those type of guys that can live that way, we don't have anything in common when it comes to that. Like,
absolutely.
But I think it comes from, like, it's also like from a place of, like, if you don't struggle to meet people, then you tend to be more relaxed about it, right? And you tend to want situations to be cool.
Yeah.
I mean, if I struggled to meet, I might be at
the DR. Of course, you never know. So that's interesting, though, because you said you were also kind of in that, like, taking it out on people in high school, not getting any pussy.
Yeah, that I mean, I was never, even when I was, like, I just wasn't having, I was like a small dude. Like,
right,
I was
right,
like,
right.
I was like 5'1", freshman year of,
you grew up in Queens?
Freshman year of high school. But I, by the time I graduated, I was like, you know, I grew a little taller.
5'2.5".
Now I'm like 5'6", 5'7", but But then I was also skinny. Like, I was just a small dude. It's one thing. You could be 5'3 and big, and then you're like a big guy. But, like, I was just a small 5'3 dude.
5'3 and big is tough, too, brother.
But at least you're a presence.
You're, in a lot of ways, people look at you like almost like, you're like a little kid.
A little kid,
you
know? Right.
Especially in high school.
It's such a
spectrum.
Right.
You're like, if you're a skinny 5'1", it's like, and there's like a guy who's like bench pressing.
Well, that's the
you
thing.
Know, the linebacker.
My high school was like a basketball powerhouse school. Wow,
hilarious.
So, like, some of the big, like, these
what
guys.
School?
Christ the King.
Oh, holy shit. Yeah, damn.
Like, when I was there, like, we won a state championship. We were ranked. Like,
hilarious.
Some of the, like.
Who was there? Do you remember any, were there any players?
Yeah, for sure. My year was Irvin Walker, Ryan Pearson.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Malik Booth. Those were, like, Irvin went on to play for Florida.
Yeah.
Ryan went on to play for
George
Mason.
So, D1, we're talking
NBA. Kemba Walker.
He played for Rice,
so he was like our biggest competitor.
Yeah.
So he was like NBA player. Sylvan Landisburg. I think Sylvan went on to play for.
Isn't Melo's son there now?
They're ranked this year. So I say all that to say.
So you're 5'1", and there's kids that are like playing in the NCAA, like just like a 6'8 power forward at that same school.
Yeah, with ESPN. Tina Charles was there when I was there. She won Gatorade Player of the Year. She was the best.
And you're shopping at Gap for kids. You're trying to get pussy with a little dinosaur on your shirt.
Right. She was like, she's like one of the best basketball players ever.
Yes.
She was there when I was there. Like, it was like, ESPN cameras following her around. Lamar Odom was coming by with Khloe Kardashian. Seriously, you would see them in the hallway. Like, and I'm 5'1", like, hey, what's up, guys? You want to hear something funny that happened to me?
Yeah,
but then I got a girlfriend senior year.
Nice.
And like I grew into my body and I got a girlfriend and I was just with her we were just like,
and you're also a charming guy, you figured it out,
yeah,
you know,
so
I mean?
So
funny.
I say that to, like, I was never miserable because I was always like, I was fairly well liked,
yeah,
like people liked me, and I did date, like I had girlfriends, yeah. I just wasn't like sexually
active, but I had girls
and like I would date and girls liked me and I liked girls.
You go see little movies and shit,
yeah,
little split appetizer like at Chili's,
right.
You know,
for sure. There was literally a Chili's that everyone hung out with a couple blocks away. Yeah. So we would do that. But it wasn't until college where, like, and I went away, like, to dorm.
Where'd you go?
I went to SUNY Westbury. It's right in Long Island. But that was when I was like, all right, like, girls.
That's funny. I did a similar thing where it's like, I mean, you went further away, but Queens to Long Island is not that far.
It was 40 minutes.
Dude, I went to school 20 minutes away because.
And dormed
because I got a scholarship.
Oh, okay.
And it was the only school.
Thanks, Biden.
He cleared that for me. Shout out to Joe.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude.
That's like the thing. So I say, like, I was never like.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
I used to make fun of people because I used to think like we were all in on. Like I used to be like, oh, it's fun. I had no perspective of like, no, you're hurting people's feelings.
Right, right, so right, right, like,
what up,
right.
You fat bald bastard?
And why did you? I'm sorry. Why'd you pick those two? That's interesting. There are some high school kids that were fat and bald, huh? Clearly, that must be what you're referring to right now. I would have picked maybe some, maybe with braces or maybe acne, but I don't know a lot of. That's what came to my head. Some game, for some reason that just kind of came to your head, huh? Eldis, what the fuck are you laughing about over there?
Of course. People make fun of, like, you make fun of me like you little bastard. Yeah, you're like, why are you being mean? Like, you just walked into the cafeteria being mean.
Of course.
But now, like, I don't even find humor in that. Like, I don't even, like...
Yeah, because like, you see it. You see what it's doing to the other person.
Right.
And you have like, enough perspective.
Like,
roast battles.
Like, I like to watch them. I think they're fun. But, like, I don't like being a part of them.
Of course.
Especially, like, they'll get two friends. They'll be like, oh, you and Stardos are friends. You should battle each other. I'm like, I don't want to hurt my friend's feelings. Like,
well, to me, it's like... I think at least a friend thing, if you have that kind of relationship.
It's better.
It's fun because it's like, it is fun to just, to like, because you ultimately know there is no, it's kind of a game to say the most fucked up thing to somebody you truly care about.
Yeah, but I also don't want to say fucked up shit to you.
And I get that, but roast battle has gotten out of control. Where it's like, these people are strangers. And they're like, oh, yeah. Your brother got molested and your mom's in hell crying about it. Yeah, and it's like, we've never met.
Right.
It's like, why are you saying this
to
me?
Dude, it's gotten to the point where it's just so, I'm like, God.
Yeah, yeah,
and also,
yeah.
I mean, coming like from like, I'm like Hispanic, but black. You know, sure. Like they don't roast like that.
No,
like they'll make fun of your shoes, but of you don't bring up a child molestation.
right.
You don't bring up a molestation at the lunch table.
Of course. You know? Yeah, absolutely. You couldn't do that. You would disrupt too much of the Dominican Republic's economy if you brought up molestation. Fuck, dude. That is so fucking funny. So, and then you were, so, okay, Long Island, that's fun. And then that is also another thing of like, whatever you came into yourself a little bit and you were like, just charming and you've learned how to talk to people. And that's a good route too. If you're like if you're someone who lacks a little confidence and you're like, you know, you have a little, you know, you were a short kid, scrawny, whatever. It's like, find somebody. Because that seemed to be your thing. Get a relationship going. Actually talk to the person. Be nice to like a girl.
Yeah.
And like figure it out from there. And that's a really good.
My high school girl, like she was beautiful too. She was like a pretty girl. She was a pretty girl who like dressed nice and everyone thought was cool. So when when me and her got together, like people loved it because people loved me and they loved her. And they were like,
they were rooting for you. They're the mascot. But that is a good, I feel like that's probably going to come up in our questions. But so that's it. So are you, and I want to go back to the idea in the special about like the vulnerability and being done with dating and all that stuff. It's like, or do you really feel that way about wanting to like stop dating and actually get into a relationship? Is that where you're at in your life?
Again, I'm embellishing embellishing.
No, but that's, I get it. But I just mean like, is that, because I got to be honest, for me, I am sort of starting to feel a little bit.
I am, but I mean, you can attest to this. You work so hard to get to a point, to get the train moving. Yeah. And once that train takes off, it starts moving so fast career-wise that you almost be like, whoa, I have to step back. So like my last few relationships or people that we, you know, my last few relationships, it's like it comes to a point where I'm just like, I like her and she likes me, but I'm like, I have no time.
No, I feel
like
that.
I don't have time.
But see, I also think that because this is what happened to me earlier this year, because I said that to myself and I was like, I don't have time. And so I didn't even consider trying to be in a serious relationship. And then, you know, I would see, you see people casually, you let them know I don't have time. And then one person, and most of the time those girls are like, hey, like this isn't working. You're like, thank you very much. Really appreciate everything you've done around here. Yeah. You know, like appreciate what you've done in the last 4 months. You really made this a nice time. But then somebody breaks up with you or like gets a boyfriend or whatever. And you just can't, you're like, oh wait, I liked her.
Yeah.
And now I'm just sad.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, and then you're like, so that's, I'm coming to this realization where it's like, and I'm talking about this shit in therapy too, all this kind of shit where it's like, at a certain point, it just is your life.
Yeah.
And there is no when this slows down because It might never slow down.
It might never slow down, and
it might be like, it's like, that's an excuse you're saying, and it's like, you have to figure out how to do it within this.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about that thing with my health, too, where I'm like, I was like, dude, I just need to get my, I'm going to get off the road and like really hit my health hard. And I did that last, I got off the road, I took like 8 weeks, and it was really good for me. But then it's like, I've been on the road fucking 4 months after that, and it's like, I'm healthier than I would have been if I hadn't done that, but that's not enough. Yeah. I have to think about how to do it while I'm on the road.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like,
I feel
like...
So that's what I'm thinking that. That's what I'm
thinking. That's what I'm thinking. The same thing with relationships, where it's like, there's never going to be...
That's where I'm at. But it's not me. It's not like I don't want to work on it. I just start, like, I start feeling so guilty for the girl.
Because they
come in so, like, bright-eyed and there for you. And then once they see what it really is,
of
like,
course.
You can tell they're, like, their thing being broken down of, like...
Right. You're like, sorry, I'm in fucking Kenosha.
Right.
I can't come to your sister's graduation.
Right, exactly.
We added a Sunday in Kenosha.
Yeah, I can't come to your graduation.
Yeah.
We added a Sunday. And
you'll get another master's.
Well? No,
Yeah.
But I have to do it.
I sold bad. I sold bad.
I had to check
merch. No one bought it. I had to check. I actually lost $40 checking my merch back. But hey, tell your sister I'm happy the baby's healthy.
Yeah,
you know, like that. I heard the baptism went well.
On Instagram.
I'll waive the cameo fee. Shit sucks.
It's the thing. So I'm at that point where I'm like,
I gotcha.
I try and I want to be, but like, you reach a point where you just start feeling so selfish, and I hate to feel that way. So like, when I start feeling that, I kind of be like, hey, this is not working for you.
Yeah, of course.
Like, it's
of
working course. For me.
Yeah, this is cool for me.
Yeah, this is not working for you.
Interesting. Have you had any ones where you're like, wish I could have gotten that one back. Wish I could have made it work.
Yeah. I mean, I had a girlfriend where I was like, like everything was right except my career.
Yeah. And would you though? But knowing now, with this perspective that you have now, would you have been like, could we have figured it out? Or you're just saying?
Well, I think because of what my lifestyle ruined. What it could
gotcha. I see.
So it's not because I mean like my unavailability.
I see. You.
So
you
she ended up changing.
I see. And you also gave it a try within the parameters of your career, but the career was just too much. Because like for me, the problem is like I almost use that as an excuse not to get close enough to someone.
I do too. Yeah.
And then I'm like, well, I could have seen her a little more. Like I could have been too. A little more.
But then it's like you need just like, dude, like you said, you're on the road. Like you come back and it's like, sure, you can do a date night if you really want to. You can.
Yeah.
But it's like I also would like a night off, like to just rest. Like I kind of want to be with my thoughts, like
yeah,
by
yeah,
myself.
Yeah.
I, you know,
you didn't like her that much.
That's what they say. But it's like, no, I do.
Yeah.
I enjoy being it, but it's like I need the time to myself.
Yeah.
And I need time to write, and you need time. I mean, you're doing producing and
Yeah. No, directing. It's a lot. It is a lot of shit. And it's also like,
but I understand.
Yeah. There is something where I'm just like, at the end of the day, all of that is a little bullshit though.
Is it?
It is a little bit, cuz if it is the kind of thing what we were just talking about, this is just how life's going to be and we got to figure it out. And maybe that's a little bit of finding somebody that's more compatible, maybe that's the problem.
Well, that's the thing. I feel like you get to a point in your career, you get enough freedom where things get easier. So it's like,
you might always get
busy, but if like if you're at the point in your career where you can like fly your lady out with
you're going to this thing
and you can take
and you're only
a
going
month
to good
off,
cities.
Yeah, and you're not doing Kenosha.
Yeah. Sorry to Kenosha, but
you can
it
take
sucks.
A, yeah. You can take it to Hawaii.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
take,
yeah.
And it's,
yeah,
and it's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
That, then it's like, all right, well.
I see. Yeah, yeah. I gotcha. No, I get that, dude.
And also, I mean, like, it would be nice to, like, come off the road and be married, have somebody, like, a family to come home to.
I literally have reinvented, like, I was coming home off the road, and I'd been on the road so many times, and you come home to an apartment that's like, there's no food in the house. It's a little messy because you were packing, you know, last minute. And I was like, hey, it'd be kind of nice if, I was like, damn, it'd be nice if I got back and like, maybe somebody was like, and there was food ready
and
the apartment
somebody
was
wanted
clean.
To hug you?
Yeah. And I realized, and I was like, and you know what? I'm making enough money now.
Yeah.
they wouldn't even have to pay rent.
Yeah.
And I was like, and you know what? It'd be kind of cool if it was like a girl I was dating, because I could, we could just fuck. It would be great. Like, I was like,
I got some girls in DR for you. That, yeah. It's funny you say that. Because you have $75 you could spare.
Well, that's what I realized. I reinvented, well, wife. I was like, what I want is a wife. It just was something backward. Different. Exactly. Yeah. I just like, each step of the way, I was like, because at first I was like, maybe I could have a friend, my roommate. And then I was like, a roommate, it should be a girl that I like. And we could. And then I was like, 100%, we're just describing a 50s housewife.
A family, yeah.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah. I should go to the ER, but for marriage, not for sex tourism. Let me put that out there very clear right now, everyone. That would be a nice foreign wife. That's not a bad.
Yeah.
That's not a bad look. Yeah. Maybe, you ever think about going back? Getting yourself a little straight from the DR.
I had a girlfriend. Oh, you did? Yeah, who was on there? Yeah.
I thought about getting, like, just going to Greece and being like, just let me get a fucking straight from the motherland girl.
That'd be nice, right? You don't gotta worry about rights.
Yeah. Human you're still out the fucking in Greece. You're still out the fucking. Ellis, you never had an Albanian girlfriend, did you?
No, I haven't.
Never.
I always wanted to stay away from it. I was like,
makes sense.
I just feel like I have this Albanian family at home.
Yeah.
It feels like a lot. It just always felt a little disconnected or something.
Of course. We didn't get into we were talking about the DR in Greece. We didn't get into your trips to Albania, Eldis. I know you were I know you were sharing a room with a goat at some point in your fucking.
I remember when we went to Albania in the 60s, like, you couldn't even shit on the toilet. Like, it was just holes in the ground.
In the 90s, you mean?
Yeah.
This is the 60s?
Yeah. It was like in the 90s. I mean, yeah, just dirt roads everywhere. Yeah, same, you're sleeping with your. I mean, back then we were young, but, you know, even when I went, like, last few years, like, you know, my cousins are fucking grown men and they're still sleeping in that childhood bedroom. Yeah, dude.
Two in a bedroom.
Like you're sharing one of the beds with one of them. Yeah. And guess what? If it's summer, you're fucked. Like, you just got that ceiling fan. There's no AC.
Oh, sounds horrible.
I remember in Albania, when we went in like 96, I was 7 years old. I saw my fucking uncle like cut a chicken's head off in the backyard for dinner, and I like didn't eat any meat that whole trip. And I remember like me and the fucking like neighborhood fucking kids like would go out back and they would be like spitting on the chicken heads and throwing them at the wall.
Yeah, I know. The thing, I saw them. I went to the market, like the street market. I saw them kill a chicken with the hand, like, wring it, like you wring the chicken's neck. Oh my god, that's how you kill it. Yeah,
I remember going on vacation in this little fucking hick Greek village. Like, it was a little village, and then you would go down the road, and it was just like a nice little, you know, beach, and it was kind of like a lower middle class vacation town. And that's the nice thing about Greece, like, even the shitty ones are better. The shittiest Greek beach I've ever been to is like better than like Malibu, like the best, you know? So it's like this little lower middle class town. And I remember these kids, like, we would play soccer, and the most exciting thing that ever happened was like these two dogs got caught fucking, and every kid in the fucking village was like, ah, and they were like throwing rocks at the dogs chasing them. These dogs fucking and moving and like kids. Yeah. And I remember I showed these kids a dollar and they were like, meanwhile, like a euro was more money at the time, and they're like, I traded them like $1 for 5 euros.
Yeah,
they're like, oh, it was fucking great. But
one of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one of a kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind the scenes secrets. It's going to be a must see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Why don't we take some of this immigrant expertise, some of this fucking little guy who still managed to get pussy expertise and show it to our fucking and get it with our callers here, because
I got a call that's a perfect segue.
I love it. Let's hear it. You motherfucker.
Hey, Stav. So, I'm 15, and you already know the trajectory of my life if I'm 15 and a fan of yours. But here's my problem. Me and my ex-girlfriend broke up like 6 months ago.
Oh, listen, this kid is broken up.
you know, like we talked a little bit, but not really after that. And today she texted me and was like, I want you back, yada, yada, yada. Okay. I'm still very much attracted to you. I want to try again. And I told her, like, no, I want to, I've moved on.
Wow.
But I don't know. Now I'm questioning it because I feel like this is the only woman that's ever going to love me.
And she's 15, this poor kid. So I don't really I'm sorry, play it again. I was laughing too much at that statement.
Yeah.
I don't know. Now I'm questioning it because I feel like this is the only woman that's ever going to love me. And she's got big old titties. So I don't
know. Well, now I understand. Okay, now you're talking some sense, finally.
Now you're speaking our language.
You might find, you'll find other women who love you.
With the titties.
If she does have big ass titties.
I know. That's rare, honestly.
No joke. There more women have loved me than. No, that's not the more. Not every woman who's loved me has had big ass titties. I'll put it that way.
No,
but a couple have. Yeah, and those were beautiful times.
You can count them. Yeah. So I understand what he means.
We see where you're coming from, buddy.
You don't know when that next one's coming.
Yeah, although you know they might have had a big old ass, and that was pretty nice too.
That's nice too.
The first girl that I loved that didn't have big titties had a huge ass, and I was like, I was always just straight titties at that point in my life, and I was like. No, these are actually awesome. Big ass is cool too.
Big ass is cool too.
So, okay, buddy. Well, look, we got good news for you. We're missing, like, you're clearly, you know, he's 15, not a good storyteller. You've left so much detail. Why did you break up? What happened here? He said, me and my ex-girlfriend broke up. So we don't even know who broke up with who.
It says he doesn't want to be with her, I think, though.
It seems like, but is it because she did something fucked up to him? Because I remember that. I remember I had a girlfriend who I, like, you know, I made out with her a couple times. I touched her tits a couple times in, like, when I was 15. And I remember she called me. She called me one time. She was, like, crying. She was like, I accidentally got fingered last night. It's like, oh, really? It was a real big accident, huh? It was like the fuck are we talking about?
I remember there was this couple. There was this couple in high school that dated. That they're my friends. I love them. And they used to have a lot of, like, every week somebody would cheat on the other one, and they would break up and fight. And now they're, like, married with, like, a beautiful family. So, listen, man, just take her back. Even if she got fingered the night before, just take her back. You never know. You're only 15. People get older and mature.
I will say this. He is only 15. And we were just talking about how we didn't get any pussy in high school.
Yeah, he's getting big titty love.
You're getting big titty love pussy. You're not as charming or entertaining as us. It's not even close.
I can hear it in your voice.
So
I can hear it by the way your voice is cracking.
It's not even close. Yeah. So honestly, if nothing bad happened and you have these strong emotions towards her, you're young. If you're even on the fence and she wants to be with you.
And her titties are big.
And there's nothing toxic. There's nothing bad, you know. Get in there. Fuck it. Who cares?
Yeah, what do you have to lose? Give it another try.
This very well. Here's the thing you don't want to know. This could be the hottest woman you fuck in your whole life.
At 15. You want to be that guy?
I was talking to
someone. You'll be leaving comments under my special. About how much you hate it. You don't want to be that guy.
I was talking to a guy. I was doing crowd work. I was in Toronto, and I did crowd work with this guy, and he told me that the first girl, his high school girlfriend was like this girl who was like a science prodigy mm-hmm. who like now is
sounds
like some
hot.
Kind of some, but like you ever you remember there's a subset of girl that was
smart
like good at everything like just
in elementary school and junior high school
exactly
for sure.
And they were like not only smart as shit but they were like free they would like party they were
athletic
they were freaks and he was like she was
all pregnant now with, six kids and divorced
either that or they're like at the top of industry they are just like they have it all certain people do that
some people have that
and if you catch them in high school where they don't know how valuable they are
some
guys get lucky and get to date them in high school like that picture of that guy who went to prom with Beyonce and it's like that motherfucker had no idea what it was going
on. I'd argue that that's the time for them to mainly attack. Because women, the more successful they get, they out like success their,
exactly.
their pool. Like,
right.
The pool gets smaller for them.
Absolutely. So that guy, he did. And then the second girl he dated after that was a fucking Raptors cheerleader. He dated them back to back, and it's like it'll never get better for that guy. And it's possible, my friend, that it never gets better for you.
Yes.
Now we don't know that. You didn't give us enough backstory, but get in there.
She's, yeah, go ahead.
You
man.
Feel you clearly feel something. She has big ass titties.
That's like a big point for me.
It's a big point for me as well, my friend. That's the kind of show this is.
Yeah.
But. And look, call back if you want. Give us, if we're missing some context, please, you
call
know,
in.
Call in, fill in. But it feels like you want to, and you're just asking us for our blessing.
You have mine.
You have mine as well, Eldis.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay,
you
great.
You can't leave the titties on the table. That's
three guys that haven't even seen a picture of this girl,
and we won't. And we won't. She's 50. We don't have to get into any more specifics.
Right? Yeah.
We are not attracted to her. Let's put that. Let's get that in
for
there.
For you.
For you. Okay. Let's make that for, you know, just we are not. That is not. We are not into her at all. We are into the concept of big titties on women our age.
Our age. And I'm just imagining if I was your age.
If I, exactly. If when I was 15, if a girl, I mean, if any girl was nice, you know, anyway, we've covered it.
Yeah.
You're in there, buddy. Let us know how it goes. Let us know if we're missing something. Eldis, go ahead and play us another call, my friend.
You want to know something crazy? I've never...
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I've never hooked up with a girl under 18, even when I was under 18. Oh,
yeah,
because you
were... Exactly. Yeah.
I've always been legal.
Of course. It's always been legal. You'll never get caught. Like, one of the saddest things that ever happens is, like, somebody will be... will have a picture they took of their own dick when they were like 15 to sext when they were in high school. You can get arrested for like child pornography.
Oh, you can?
If you send that. I've at least seen that on the internet. Who knows if it's... you keep pictures of your 5'1 penis. I can't even imagine how little your shit was in ninth grade. You show it to women as a before. You think this is small, bitch? Look what it looked like in ninth grade.
Not only that, I got circumcised sophomore year.
What?
sophomore year of high
what
school.
What the fuck? Yeah. What? We were a strong uncircumcised podcast here. Yeah. Oh, our immigrant brother, dude. You stabbed us both in the heart right now.
I know.
What happened? Why?
I'll be honest with you. I just didn't like how it looked.
Wow. It was a cosmetic.
Yeah.
A cosmetic circumcision in ninth grade?
Yeah, I didn't like how it looked.
Oh, my God. Because
I played on a basketball team. And then you know, wow. You're high school boys, like you gotta shower together and then you start to see how others look and I'm like, mine don't look like that. So I did it. And then I started a movement of like immigrants getting circumcised. Then
dude,
no lie.
You gotta leave.
Like 15
you what?
Like 15 came after me.
Oh
like,
my like got circumcised. God.
I normalized it in
you're
my
breaking our hearts right now, dude.
I'm sorry, man. I've said too much.
We're an uncut podcast here at Stavi's
Proudly
World.
Proudly uncut.
They tried to circumcise me, and I said no.
You ran out the door.
I was like, how dare you, sir?
Was the recovery brutal? Like,
no, it's not bad. It's honestly really? 10 days.
Stop with this propaganda.
Wow. 10 days.
Don't listen to him. If you're
if you a doctor,
if you're not circumcised,
we'll come
it's
your
horrible.
House.
Your penis is mutilated. Me. Don't listen to this man.
We'll send a guy in a van to your house.
Eldis, don't tell me you're thinking about it. I'm going to start crying.
I can't. I felt like so backstabbed when I found out my dad wasn't circumcised.
Wow. Like, or was circumcised?
No. He got circumcised.
Oh, yeah.
I always assumed he
was.
Dude, it's a good move.
He got fucking circumcised. I mean, the crazy thing is, he got circumcised in like communist Albania when he was like 14 years old. He told me
you can't even. You gotta like, know someone for that. Yeah, you gotta know government officials.
He's standing in the circumcision line.
You gotta know like a high ranking government official.
They're like bread or circumcision this month. I'll take the clipping.
That was really crazy to me.
Oh my God, dude. Yeah, that's right. Wild.
That was a betrayal.
You never saw your father's penis? You never know? You never saw it?
I feel like I saw, I must have seen it like when I was a kid or something at some point.
But it didn't register.
Yeah, I just didn't realize it or maybe it was.
That's why your bond was never that strong.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, this explains a lot. Why there's just not that unspoken bond between me and my dad.
What were you saying?
I'm saying, nah, it's great. Like, Consider it.
Dude, shut the fuck up. Sorry, don't listen to this man. He's trying to fucking
propaganda.
Yeah, he's trying to get
circumcision.
Big circumcision. Yeah, yeah. Dude, what's so funny is this is how fucking Greek people, I mean, for, you know, Eastern Europe, they're not exactly progressive when it comes to I'd say they've got some Kanye West style views.
Sure.
You know? Sure. They've got some Kyrie Irving Amazon documentary style views. And I went to the urologist for a different problem. And the guy, like, I was pissing when I was like, you know, 20 or whatever, I was pissing too much. And he was like, and you know, they fixed that, whatever. But the guy was also like, hey, your foreskin's a little tight.
I had tight foreskin.
Okay, that makes sense. You should consider getting circumcised. And I kind of, at the time, I wasn't as staunch in my anti stance as I am now.
Well, now you got the merch, so you can't.
Of course, no, I can't.
Of course. Anti-circumcised merch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've got scarves that look like a foreskin.
The next merch. They come up to here.
I've got 4,000 of those. I got to move before I change any of my fucking views. And I told my dad, I was just telling my family. And he was like, my father, who has never asked any follow-up questions about a doctor in his life, he was like, is this doctor Jewish? And my dad thought that Jewish people had an interest in circumcising everyone. It's like, what do they gain from that? What is this, man?
You get circumcised, now you're Jewish.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what? In what world does that benefit Jewish people if my dick is clipped? It's just so fucking, just shows you how he fucking views the world. But anyway, folks, don't get circumcised. Stay natural. Don't let America take what's beautiful about your culture and your penis. This man is an assimilator, unlike me and Eldis. We stay strong to our roots. All right, play the next one, LD.
Hey, Stav. My name is Mark. I had a quick question that I was hoping to get some advice on. So I've been wanting to plan like a boys trip for me and the boys to go. Out to a little tropical location. Uh-oh. You know. And it's been tried to get set up multiple times, a couple times here, and kind of keeps getting stuck at a certain point with one of my friend's girlfriends. And I was kind of wondering what I should do about that. Obviously, it's not my place to get into their relationship and all that, but kind of a little bit annoying that it keeps coming up like this.
Okay.
Let me know.
Interesting. So you are trying to get a boys trip going and your friend's girlfriend is basically putting the brakes on it from his perspective.
I would like how old. I think the age matters.
Age does matter
on this.
It's true because if they have children, you know what I mean. Like
yeah,
that's,
if there's this is 40-year-old men,
right, and right, like, right.
My girlfriend is getting in the way.
Right, right, right. But this guy sound. If I had to guess, he's kind of in that in between zone where it's like right out of college,
early 20s. Yeah.
Exactly, right out of college, not quite adulthood.
Yeah.
His friend might be a little further down adulthood.
Yeah.
And that he might have a serious girlfriend, or he could be the same age and she's a dumb bitch, or she's also knows maybe his friend is a piece of shit. Maybe she knows her boyfriend wants to go have a DR style tropical vacation, and she's afraid. You know what I mean?
Listen, 5 men go on vacation. To a tropical destination.
Yeah, you're right. Something not chill is happening.
I don't know what it is. I'm not saying they're cheating. Something weird
is going to happen.
Something not conducive to a healthy relationship.
Of course. He's going to get fucked. Yeah, he's going to do some kind of drug. He's going to watch his friend get sucked off, which will alter their relationship in some way.
Like his friend.
Yeah, he might come out like straight, but liking to watch men fuck.
Right,
like something weird, some kind of weird sexuality we don't even know about yet.
But why can't he just go without the guy? If you got a girl, you stay back.
Now, see, that is the natural answer to this. But at the same time,
he wants his boy there.
He's losing. He would be losing to this girlfriend.
Yeah.
If that's the case.
You're going to lose to the girl, though. That's just, I mean, that's a good
ultimate
setup. Because in life,
ultimately, you are going to. That is something that I have learned the hard way. your best friends, you will lose them to their... The best you can hope for is that they date someone you like.
That, and she likes you.
And she likes you, exactly. Yeah. And that it works out. And that's happened and that's nice.
This is the best case scenario because I have this.
Okay.
My friend's girlfriends think I'm the good influence.
That's really good.
That's the best case scenario.
That is not like, the case for
why
me.
Why can't you be more like Ian? Yeah, why can't you hang out more with Ian?
Right. That's beautiful.
That's the dream.
No one thinks that about me. There's never been a girlfriend.
You think it's the thong photos? And the
Yeah, it was bad before I actually... Like, it was bad before I could... I could conceive of, because I love your bit about how it's like, guys, you don't want to get a relationship from a young guy if he's single, because it's like, what I want is to hang out with my boys.
Right.
I want them to be single so that we can hang out.
Yeah.
I think there's a little bit of that. I just like, and it's like, if I'm, even if it's not like, even if they're not afraid that they'll cheat or that we're going to have something crazy, it's like, I am a bad influence in that. We'll get really fucked up. We'll eat like shit. Yeah. We'll just have a good ass time.
Even if we're just hanging here watching the game, like they won't answer your text.
Exactly. You'll be mad at that. Because we're just having a good time.
Yeah.
But you're right. You're at the end of the day, that actually is a very good lesson that you're losing to the girlfriend, man. Yeah. There's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can
do about it, man. Just get used to it, I'll be honest.
You know what? You're so right. Yeah. Because I'm still, I have learned that lesson, but for him, I'm trying to live vicariously through him. I want him to win.
Yeah.
The answer is you're not going to win. Nah. You're so right.
If
you have
not
to.
This one, there'll be another one.
You're so right. Yeah. You exactly. Because ultimately, what we want, what you really do want, is to, and what you should want for your friend is to find a partner that does trump you.
Yeah.
If someone's dating somebody and they care about what you think more than what their partner thinks, that's a bad relationship. Yeah. I don't want a wife who I listen to Elvis more than my wife.
No.
No, that's fucking brutal. No. And the vice, so it's like this, you're right. It's a good lesson to learn. Even if the girl, and now it is possible though that this is a bad.
That's different. If you girlfriend. Think the girl is no good for him.
But truly no good for him, not because she's fucking up your tropical vacation.
Yeah, right.
But even then it's like I found it doesn't matter. Like,
you'll still lose.
You'll lose,
but you have a fight there.
You at least have the right to say something.
You have a fight. Yeah, you have a fight.
I found that no one listens to me because I'm too honest too quickly. Like, I'll just say, "What the fuck are you doing here?" Yeah. Whatever, you know what I mean? Like,
I'm too honest too. No one listens to me because they don't want to hear it.
Yeah. So if you really do want to affect things, you have to be diplomatic about it. You have to figure it out. But honestly, brother, what Ian said is so right. You're losing to the girlfriend every time. And if you want to expand it to a friends and girlfriends trip, but you probably don't want to do that. You just want to hang out with your fellas. Now, if we want to be realistic, maybe the issue is, all right, maybe you guys aren't getting on a flight together, but what about a road trip to like a fucking beach somewhere? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that might be an easier pill to swallow. Yeah. Like, you go to the Jersey Shore, you go to like the Outer Banks, or you just like a boys trip somewhere else, or even within the continental United States, it's probably a little easier for a non-approving girlfriend to like wrap her head around it. But ultimately, brother,
it's the guy's decision. There's nothing you can do about it, Mark. There's nothing you can do
You're
about
right.
it.
Like, yeah,
you
Mark.
He's doing the right thing because he's like, I know it's my place. It's not my place to get involved.
Yeah.
He's like, that's the girl, that's the person who he has sex with. So it's a losing battle. as you are.
You know what? That really says it all. That really says it all, Mark. Until you start sucking your boy off, she's got the trump card.
Yeah, she's,
especially if the pussy's good, and you can tell.
Yeah,
if you think it's
because he's going on vacation. Yeah. That tells you your answer.
Very, very, so true. All right, Eldis, hit us with another one, baby.
Do you guys vet these, or you just?
Eldis goes to them, and we have a producer,
hey,
our
Stavi.
Pre-producer, Ralph. She
love
produces
you.
Them oh, sometimes. Girl. Yeah, let's hear from her.
I love the show. So glad you're bringing it back. So my name's Marissa. I'm calling with a question that actually doesn't pertain to sucking and fucking.
Great. We appreciate
it.
play from the start.
Wrong start.
Yeah.
I'm calling with a question that actually doesn't pertain to sucking and fucking. Just to mix it up, you know, keep it fresh. So my fiance and I are looking.
Next. No, playback, playback. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Obviously, it's like crazy. Mix it up, you know, keep it fresh. So my fiance and I are looking to buy a house right now. Obviously, it's like crazy expensive and pretty much out of reach. We're struggling to find something we can afford, and he suggested maybe getting a duplex, like a multi-unit house, so we could live in one side and rent out the other to help pay for the mortgage. I'm just really uncomfortable being a landlord, and I worry that we'll be in the position to have to like kick somebody out or whatever, and I just can't do shit like that to people. So we've been talking about it, and I said, like, I'd consider doing it if we'll accept Section 8. But I just worry
Section
still. 8. So my question is, like, is there an ethical way to be a landlord? I mean, people need places to live, and better me owning the house than some, like, private equity company, right? I don't know. Help me.
Her ultimate question? Ultimate question, you may have not heard it, but she said, is it unethical to be a landlord?
Interesting.
No.
Yeah, I mean,
you're a landlord. Huh?
I'm not a landlord. No, I mean, my brother lives in the house. I fucking pay for it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I don't. He does it. Since the pandemic, I stopped charging him rent, and I just.
This girl, she has a good heart. This is what it is.
She does.
Do gooder, good spirit.
And I see where she's coming from. There is something like fucked. I get it. Like feeling that it is fucked up to like someone just needs a place to live, and. You're charging them, you're paying off your mortgage and making money off of them. And it's like, it's so hard to own a house in America that like we're forced to lend, and they've made it so that you have to have a crazy amount of money to even buy a house, where most people, their rent is more than a mortgage, right?
Yeah.
And it's just because they don't have the money up front
to
get it. And there is something unethical about our system in that way, where it's like, especially now where housing prices are fucking through the roof and like private equity firms are buying them up, or like foreign money is just stashing their money in. So
but I don't
I
think
get
it's
it.
Unethical because I rent because I want to rent. Like if I wanted to, I can purchase an inexpensive home somewhere, but I don't want the everything that comes with that.
Yeah.
I want to rent. I want to have somebody.
That flexibility.
Yeah, that if there's a problem in my build, they'll fix it. Like, I live in a condo. I rent. I don't have to take care of anything. Like,
Yeah. For
I
sure.
like that. I enjoy
no,
that.
No, and that's true. And I've thought about this too, because I kind of thought about, what if I buy a place and, like, I will, like, if it's, I kind of wanted to get multiple apartments, and I was like, well, same thing, like, would I be a landlord? Because it's just like, because one day I thought about it, like, I'd like my family to move in. Kind of, honestly, like, you know, fucking immigrant style, where it's like, it would be nice if my brother, because I have one brother, him and his wife, maybe they might move to New York someday. It would be nice. Or I have, you know, my best friends who are like, fucking, what if Eldis moves in? What if my friend that, you know, she used to live here, she's in Baltimore, she might come back someday. Yeah. And so I guess two things about the unethical, I see what you're saying about the unethical thing. Also think about it in terms of, do you just want to do it? Because it sucks. It is, like, there's risk involved. And also, yeah, you don't want to take care of everything. You don't want to, like, kick somebody out if they fucking, if they don't pay their rent. Like, there's a lot, being a landlord, there's a lot of downsides to it. And it'll make you feel fucking shitty. Even if you, and then if it goes well, you're like, damn, I'm kind of like.
But so, she wants to buy a house but can't afford to.
Right.
So she has to do, like, it's not like about, it's not like.
So I would, I say the way to maybe thread the needle a little bit is something that I considered, like, if I were to buy a place and it had multiple units, I literally would go to people that I knew and I would be like, I would say like, hey, Eldis, like.
You know, that doesn't make for like a good landlord. Like,
I'm not trying to make money though. That's
what
I'm saying.
I know, that's the thing. You're trying to take a, you're going to take a loss.
Well, not a loss though. What if you.
Because people are going to be, you know, they're your friends. So it's like, oh, bro, I can't come up with the rent this year.
I'm just telling you the way I could do it personally.
Yeah, because you're rich.
And what I thought. No, even before I was rich.
I'm like, my plumbing's still broken. We got too high with my landlord last night. So I was getting around to fixing that for me.
But I guess I kind of think of it more as like, instead of landlord and almost like. Trying to get like communal living going, where it's like, because that's the thing about New York, it's like, it'd be nice if everyone in the building had a bond and you treated this like your home together.
Yeah.
And it's like, you look at it as like, well, like, okay, can you cover I would charge I wouldn't be making money off it. I would just charge like that prorated part of the mortgage to be like, you take that part off my plate, you live there, and then I pay for like the more, you know, I pay for like my shit.
Yeah, I mean, there's a word for that. It's socialism, but you're trying to bring that to America, and that's fine. But
yeah.
What, I think you're like, that's like a do-gooder. That's like a Bill Gates, like, I'm just trying to help.
Sure.
You know, not, you know, like, have all the money in the world, wants to help.
Of course.
In her situation, I mean, like, you could, but what you're saying is, like, just be a cool landlord.
Yeah, I guess. I guess that is.
It's not unethical if you're a cool landlord.
I agree. I think I do agree because it's also, like, a tough, like, a lot of immigrants have, like, you build a little, you know, you build, you get a little something.
Yeah.
Because it's like, what are the other options? It's like stocks, like, it's like, all that shit is, like, you know. Exploitive in some way, but yeah, it's like, as long as you're, I guess if you have to do it, it's like, yeah,
be a cool landlord
and just like, but it does come with, it does seem fucking annoying too.
It is annoying, but you get a house.
True. You're right. That's the trade-off. You're versus
like a
paying.
Rich guy. Like, yeah, yeah, like, yeah. Why would you want to deal with people? Yeah. So you want to buy a house.
I guess that's true. All right. Next question, LD.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hey, Stav. I'm an insurance defense attorney in Alabama. I make about $80,000 a year, but before I became a lawyer about 3 or 4 years ago, I got into some payday installment loan debt.
Oh, no.
And I've gotten a DUI a couple years ago.
Oh, fuck.
But my firm supported me through it, and my brother died of a heroin.
What the fuck?
A couple years ago, and then my best friend's brother died of heroin overdose about a week ago. And
fuck.
It's really fucking with me.
Yes, of course.
So to give context, I live in Montgomery, Alabama, and my family and friends, most of my friends live in Auburn, Alabama, which is about an hour away. I'm giving a lot of thought to moving back home with my parents for 90 days, no more, no less, and saving up some money and trying to get my drinking under control. If they're total teetotalers that don't allow drinking in their house. And but I also have enough money to continue living in Montgomery and maintaining my current lifestyle. It's just kind of making me sad. And
Okay.
I guess I wanted to ask, you know, is there a lot of shame in moving home? And I'm 36 years old, and I make more than my parents do combined, but I kind of need to go home, not for kind of for financial reasons, because don't want to get into it, but
there's more you don't want to get into.
I'd like your opinion on that if you've ever done that.
Yeah, I can definitely give my opinion on this, buddy.
Have you ever gone home for like a month? Did it help? Did it not help? And when you left that environment, did the changes stick? Anyway, my name's, I live in Auburn, Alabama.
Let's bleep his last name out.
Thought you left hometown, but I totally understand why, because your stand-up career is popping off, and I've watched all the, watch your documentaries on YouTube, I've watched all your clips, and I'm a big fan, but I know you'll probably shit on me, but I kind of would like your advice on this.
Of course.
So, maybe bleep his whole name out of this.
Yeah.
It's like a lawyer from
yeah.
Small town.
We got you, brother. First of all, I'd love to thank Eldis for ask the two questions back to back are, what are the moral and ethical limitations of
Stav? I thought Stav was a different guy. Yeah, I didn't know this was giving financial advice,
being a landlord, and everyone I've ever met has killed themselves, and I'm drunk as fuck.
Dick and titties with
and
you.
I'm thinking know. About yeah, maybe spread them out, Eldish, next time, you motherfucker. Anyway. Okay, but yeah, things are going real fucking bad right now, and I get that. I get the stigma and the shame attached to moving back home, but you clearly have an aim here, right? And it's not like you are, you know, it's not like shit is going, the stigma usually is like, you know, loser with nothing going on, moves back, you know, has to move back.
That's not him, though.
That's not what's going on with you. I think what's going on is that you clearly, some bad things have happened, right? And they're pushing you, and they've made your, you know, you have a specific problem, it sounds like, that you really want to get under control in terms of your drinking. And if that's the case, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that's actually very, it's important, and it's almost noble to understand that, because it would be very easy, like you said, you could maintain your lifestyle. It's fucking Alabama. If you have $42, you could fucking rent the penthouse of the fucking most expensive building in that town. So you work, you have a good job, you can maintain your lifestyle, and you're going through some shit. And it would be easy to kind of really with, you know, it would be easy to just kind of let your demons take over and try and like get through all the sadness, you know, the bad way. But you have enough context and you have enough like, you have enough wisdom at this point in your life to realize that's not going to get you anywhere. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that, as long as you are really serious about your goals and you take, you know, you take working on your drinking. It sounds like that's the biggest problem in your life. It'll affect, as everything else happens that's making you sad, that'll just amplify it. And I know that to be the case for me too, when my own problems with, it's food and drugs for me, and food first and foremost, when I'm really fucking depressed, but then I'll get really fucked up too. And if I'm going through a tough time and I let those take over, that just makes everything worse. So I think you're right to recognize, if I don't get this shit under control with all the shit I'm dealing with, shit could get really bad for me. The one thing I would say though is make sure it's the decision you want. Because you're saying it like they're total teetotalers, they don't allow any drinking in their house. It's got to be that you really want to do it. Right? Like if you just move home and you don't want to make a change, if you move home and you're not going there with like a game plan, that can be a little dangerous. You're kind of in no man's land potentially about getting stuck, and maybe you stay there a little too long. And I wouldn't even put a 90-day thing on it. I would just say it has to truly come from you. What you have some goals you really want to achieve. When you are on your way, when you have gotten your drinking under control, you can move back. You can go continue, you know, your lifestyle, whatever. But there is no shame in moving somewhere, moving back home to, whether it's to save money for something. I definitely moved back home after college. I lived alone for a while, moved back home, saved up money to go to New York. I couldn't have done that without moving back home. And we're all fucking, everyone on this podcast is a fucking immigrant. You live with your family until you get married in all our cultures. And then you move upstairs. Yeah. So don't feel any shame in that. And there's actually something really nice. You know, we've talked about how we're too close to our family sometimes, but something that is really fucking weird about American culture to me is this like shame of living with your family.
Yeah, we don't have that.
We don't have that. And it's also, it's sad because it's like, you shouldn't even feel this. You should be like, I need support. Who gives me support? My fucking family.
Okay, yeah.
And I think for where you are with all the shit you're dealing with, it makes total sense. And don't feel fucking bad about it. And just work on your shit though, right? Like, you don't want to get caught in that vortex. But it sounds like shit is going, you have a plan. You're going through a tough time. And even if it's just like, fuck, I need a little extra support because a lot of bad shit has happened in my life. That's totally cool too. So let us know, call back, give us a fucking update. When, let me scroll up, Elvis. When the fuck did he send this? We should fucking do this episode soon. yeah. Sorry, this won't come out for, you said this a month ago, it ain't coming out for another month. So hold on for us, buddy. Yeah. until this comes out. Hopefully everything's going good, but we're rooting for you. Hopefully you just call us even if you don't have an update. Just let us know everything's going all right. All right. We're rooting for you, pal. Go over there, enjoy, you know, move back home to Alabama. We'll send you $18 and that should hold you over.
That should hold you over for the holidays.
So you get a 6-month lease with a furnished place. all right, baby, hit us. Hit us, Eldis.
Stop. I need your help. I'm trying to better myself and I'm trying to figure out which day is the optimal day to be the biggest piece of shit.
Okay.
What I mean is let's say, for example, I am a piece of shit just on a Saturday.
Okay.
This is a slippery slope, as in the Saturday evolves to the Sunday, which then evolves to the rest of the week. Now, if I be a piece of shit on a Sunday, I am such a piece of fucking shit that it just ruins the rest of the week.
Okay.
So just wondering if you have any life advice on just wanting to balance out being a piece of shit.
What are you talking about?
Trying to get your life together.
This is
so that can eventually lead to being a
piece of shit. When should I be a piece of shit?
Really? You didn't think I was going to have to deal with like the tales of my 21st tragic American life? the fucking opioid issues and... life in the rural South. Yeah, I thought I was getting more of this shit too, Ian. By the way, we do appreciate your call, buddy, and we are rooting for you, the guy before this. But when to be a big piece of shit? Well, you know, I mean, Saturday is... What do you mean Saturday's a slippery slope? This guy, this was a little too rehearsed. He really lost some steam at the end there.
Yeah, I mean, he it's said like, piece of shit like six times. I checked out.
There's really, because his logic falls apart instantly. Because he's like, if I'm a piece of shit on Saturday, that's a slippery slope. Because then, what if I'm a piece of shit Sunday? But then he's like, but what if I'm a piece of shit Sunday? I could be a piece of shit Monday. And it's like, what do you... Yes, that is how that shit works.
What is a piece of shit? Like, that can be so many things.
Sure, yeah. I think he means just getting fucked up, eating like shit, letting your habits... Kind of a cheat day.
Yeah.
I mean, don't think he means, what day should I hit my children? You know what I mean? I don't think he means that kind of piece of shit.
Because that's definitely Tuesday.
Yeah.
It's a perfect day. They went to school Monday. They think it happened at school. You don't want to do it on the weekend.
I don't know. I think if you to hit your kids, you'd want to kind of do it right in the middle.
Of the week?
Yeah.
It's like Tuesday.
Pace yourself. Wednesday, I think. Wednesday. Hump day.
Yeah.
A little something to get you over the hump.
Well, Tuesday gives you enough time. I mean, Wednesday, if you hit your kids on Wednesday, then they'd be like, well, he was here on Monday, Tuesday, and was fine.
Right,
if you're just there Monday, you're like, he was here yesterday, but I don't remember. Was he good? Or
interesting. I think maybe, actually, if you want to keep the authorities off you, Friday right after school is probably the best one.
Because you got the weekend to
exactly, you don't want to leave any marks.
Yeah, Friday's good. But then that ruins your weekend.
But that's true. Then, yeah, that's true, because you're sad. You're like, fuck, why? Yeah. I said I was going to be different than my father. you're spending all weekend so you're right. There's a lot to it. So if you were asking about that type of piece of shit, we got you covered. But I think he just means eating a little ice cream and getting drunk.
Well, you do whatever you want.
I think Saturday is the best day.
Saturday is great, yeah. Don't let it carry into Sunday. Cut it off. Sunday, what, 2 a.m.?
Yeah.
Cut it off.
And that is the thing, is like, that's what Saturdays are for.
Right, and Sundays to recoup. Like, this question is like...
It's ridiculous.
There's literally a weekend is set up structurally for you.
The American work week is...
Right.
Gives you the example.
Right, they do it Saturday.
Yeah, unless you have a non-traditional job, in which case, find your Saturday and do it then. Like, we work on weekends, but then we are pieces of shit on the weekend where we work, too.
Yeah.
Very few jobs you get to also get fucked up afterwards and try and fuck... Try and fuck the people that in the same room.
Because they ruined it. Because
the women. Yeah, it's not. It's Mad Men's over. Yeah. What a shame. What do you think? Time for one more, my friend?
Yeah, I could do one more.
You got to go?
I could do one more.
You can do one more? All right, cool. Try not to be about anyone killing death. Themselves. So this maybe just something lighthearted.
Yeah, I was just wondering if I could get some advice about how to seem less desperate when I'm trying to get laid.
Okay, this guy talks like a Family Guy character.
Talking to a couple women and it just seems like they can smell the desperation, and I just want to know.
Yeah, we can smell it, pal.
How to not act like I really need to bust a nut. You know? Well, thanks, Bobby.
I would say don't use this breathy whisper that you're using with us right now.
Yeah, I would say there's no hope for this.
If I had a pussy, I would sew it shut after listening to you for 15 seconds. So we got to
I like how we said, we're not going to be bullies anymore. Yeah. we learned our lesson and not to be guys. He's like, if I had a pussy, I would sew it shut.
You just get the fucking... I would open up that cookie basket that every fucking mom kept all her sewing equipment in. Okay, buddy. Well, look, this is a classic question. It's tough. There is a little bit of fake it till you make it here, you know? And
you got to act like you've been there before.
You do got to act like you've been there before. It was just, you know, easier said than done.
If you've never been there.
If you've never been there. But try and remember what it was like when you got pussy. That helps. Visualize it. The secret.
But not in public. Don't
Yeah. He's hard. He's hard at the date.
As he's talking to her.
Yeah, yeah. Now, okay. Are you just trying to get laid? Are you you're just simply trying to fuck? Because we could, you know, Ian's high school method is a good way to... And this is what I did too. Don't get me wrong. I don't mean to keep pointing you out. The first time I had sex, it was like somebody I dated in college because I didn't have the guts to make a move. So I formed a deep bond with someone, and it felt natural. You know, we fell in love, and it was natural. Do you want to do that? That's a possibility. But if you're just trying to bust a nut, and you're like, how do I seem less desperate? Either fake it, be a good actor, pretend like you're not desperate.
Yeah, don't bring up sex neither. Like, don't bring up sex with these ones. Because he said they could smell the desperation. He's probably bringing up sex.
It's true, yeah. Or like the don't bring it up, but also don't let it barely be underneath the surface. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, don't.
I love, I actually love The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Do you want to come watch it?
Yeah, right.
You know, like, you know, it's not, don't bring it up, but also don't make it obvious how
all
bad.
All those things where you think you're being slick, they know that.
Yeah, you're like, not being slick.
You're not being slick. They know.
Maybe beat off so that the
get
immediate...
Get circumcised.
No, do not. That is some of the worst things you could possibly do. You do not want, you they can smell the circumcision on you. The recent circumcision. you're going to want to beat off so that you're less immediately horny. Even I find myself sometimes where I'm like, I'm just texting someone. I'm like, oh, we got to hang out. You know, just like saying crazy shit. I beat off. I'm
and
like,
then you why change your number.
Exactly. Yeah. I call Verizon.
Yeah, and I'm like, I need a new phone number.
I need a block. I need a permanent block on this particular number. Now, the other thing you could do, you're very desperate. And I don't know what sexual arena this particular guy is in. But we all know there's a ballpark of the types of people we can fuck easily or who we are trying to fuck or who we are trying to... Sure. Maybe you're trying to aspire to something better and get a higher quality person.
Sure.
You need to get lower. Whatever you are, get 1 degree lower.
Tell him to lower his expectations.
Lower for... Yes, exactly. Cure desperation by just busting a couple nuts.
That's true.
Whatever.
Go to DR.
Do not go to the DR. All right.
Sorry. I'm not the best at advice. You got $75.
Don't bust for money. It will only make it worse. But fuck somebody ugly. Easy, you know, with no money. That's kind of what I'm saying. It's like you got to take a couple practice swings. You got to get, you know, like. If you haven't done stand-up in 6 months, let's say.
Yeah, you go to the standing room.
Yeah. Right, you go to a shitty little club.
Yeah.
You don't go do a theater show.
No, sure.
Your first show's not the theater show.
Sure, they can tell. They can smell that you're not ready.
Exactly. So fuck somewhere that's bad. You know, fuck someone who you don't care about.
Yes.
Like, maybe she doesn't care about you either. Maybe it's just obvious. But look, get lower than where you are and where you want to be. Because you got to get there, right? Like, you go, you haven't been to the gym, you can't start fucking bench pressing your personal best the first day.
Work your way
up. You got to work your way up. So that's another thing. Fuck people that are easier to fuck, who don't care that you're desperate, maybe. That's a possibility. There you go. I think we...
Yeah, I mean, that's a good...
I think we told our boy what he needed to... So, good luck, let us know, fill us in. That is going to do it for us this week, folks. Yeah. Ian... Plug all your shit. Where are you going to be? Go see my boy live. He's fucking hilarious. And go watch the special if you haven't already,
Thank
folks.
You, brother. Yeah, watch the special. It's on HBO Max, Ian Lauer Romantic Comedy. Next year, I'm going back on the road. In January, I got the Denver Improv first weekend of January. I got Laughs Unlimited in Sacramento. I got the comedy at Ann Arbor at the beginning of February. Ooh, nice. The Denver Comedy Forum, Dr. Grin's, Grand Rapids, Michigan. It's all on IanLauerLive.com. Check me out. I'm going all over.
Go check him out. Follow him everywhere. Watch the special. Call in if you want us to give you advice in a future show. 904-800-STAV. 904-800-STAV. Eldis is probably flashing it across the screen as we speak. Isn't that right, Eldie?
Oh, yeah.
And we will be back next week. Thank you, guys. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
That was awesome.
Thank you, man.
A lot of fun, dude.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.